This next section from Alice: pedagogy fills the needs of parents, not of children. And as we read what follows, we should keep in mind that as the parent is the deputy of the state, per Bentham's advice to power, i.e., we are talking conscious planning here, and that's a significant piece, part of our ability, I think, to recover our full selves. We'll be exploring this. We are talking conscious planning here on the part of that single mind that power allows to exist under class, that single mind being its, that it's the state that is benefiting, getting its needs met, not the parents. But what we should also keep in mind is that as we reverse this condition, the condition that only power is able to act consciously, albeit megalomaniacally, only power, after all, determines the design of our global society, while all the rest of us are required to remain unconscious, unaware of what is happening to us, required to accept the imposition of a constant state of paralysis of our thought process, that as we reverse this, the class system is decommissioned. Continuing with Alice, the reader will have noticed long before now that all pedagogy is pervaded by the precepts of poisonous pedagogy, no matter how well they may be concealed today. Since the books of Eckhard von Braunmühl unmistakably expose the absurdity and cruelty of the pedagogical approach in today's world, I need only call attention to them here. Perhaps the reason it is difficult for me to share his optimism is that I regard the idealization of one's own childhood as a major unconscious obstacle to learning for parents. My anti-pedagogic position is not directed against a specific type of pedagogical ideology, but against all pedagogical ideology per se, even if it is of an anti-authoritarian nature. This attitude is based on insights that I shall describe shortly. For now, I should simply like to point out that my position has nothing in common with a Rousseauistic optimism about human nature, quote unquote. First of all, I don't see a child as growing up in some abstract state of nature, but in the concrete surroundings of caregivers whose unconscious exerts a substantial influence on the child's development. Second, Rousseau's, and she's talking Jean-Jacques, 1712 to 1778, who literally abandoned all five of his children, quote, from him, deposited them at foundling homes, unquote, over the mother's protests. Continuing. Second, Rousseau's pedagogy is profoundly manipulative. This does not always seem to be recognized by educators, but it has been convincingly demonstrated and documented by Braunmühl. One of his numerous examples is the following passage from Émile, Book 2, quote, from Jean-Jacques Rousseau, take an opposite route with your pupil. Always let him think he is the master, but always be it yourself. There is no more perfect form of subjection than the one that preserves the appearance of freedom. And that pulled me up short. It is almost, and this is my interjection, it is almost as if Bentham, who was born in 1748, lived to 1832, reading this, made it his goal and worked backward from it, as he always advised. Thus, says Rousseau, does the will itself become captive. Recall Bentham's logic of the will. They're very, as the power guys, Plato's tribe, were becoming a self-conscious tribe, very much preoccupied by this notion of the will. That's why it pervades the child-rearing pedagogic literature, and as well as Bentham's writing. Let's see. Okay. Thus does the will itself become captive. The poor child who knows nothing, can do nothing, and has no experience, is he not at your mercy? Are you manipulative? Don't even touch it, sister. This is pure sadism here. Are you not in control of everything in his environment that relates to him? Can you not control his impressions as you please? His tasks, his games, his pleasures, his troubles. Is all this not in your hands without his knowing it? Recall Hitler's comment, my interjection here. It also gives us a very special secret pleasure to see how unaware the people around us are of what is really happening to them, unquote. This is power. This Plato-derived, abandonment-driven, longing to be in control totally and beyond this, in its totally misanthropic obsession. Continuing. Doubtlessly, he may do as he pleases, but he may wish only what you want him to. He may not take a single step that you have not anticipated. He may not open his mouth without your knowing what he is going to say. Unquote. These are folk themselves made puppets, obsessed with doing the same to us ad infinitum.